You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 26. This episode, the Meth Head Core.
Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of the new and fully structured Green Lantern Corps. The podcast is dedicated to all things related to the Green Lantern. I'm your host, Frank Mateo, and today marks the beginning of our in-depth coverage on the War of the Green Lanterns. That is correct. War has broken out within the ranks of our beloved Green Lantern Corps, pitting corpsmen against one another as well as brothers in arms. Stay tuned to hear our take on the developing story. We also have the latest in the soon-to-be-concluded story of Brightest Day and Brightest Day number 22. Today's war correspondents are Supervisor of GI Affairs, Kuhan, Professor of Super Ego Studies, Colton, our guy on the street, Eric, notable award-winning author, Dr. B. Bing, cultural guru, and Korean pop star sensation, Brandon West, and five-star general, Andrew NDB. Welcome, everybody. Ew.
What?
Hey.
What up?
I haven't gotten my residuals from my tour.
I think you mistook the letter P for the letter B.
There was some residuals.
That's all right. I answer to pretty much anything these days, it seems.
Okay, so news. So they apparently announced at C2E2 that Emerald Knights is going to be premiering at WonderCon. And I'm annoyed. Why didn't they just premiere at the C2E2? Because they're not going to go in and see it.
No one's going to C2E2.
I was at C2E2.
No one went to C2E2. Well, they're doing a big event at WonderCon. They got the whole movie cast there, too, so... Why not?
There's a lot more groundwork to watch it over at WonderCon than there
plus,
is at
C2E2. You know, it's a short journey from L.A. to San Francisco.
Should have flown to Chicago. Whatever.
Yeah, they're like, you know, this movie's not going to make any money anyway. We might as well just sort of promote it.
Wait, which movie?
Emerald Knights.
Emerald Knights.
Green Lantern. No, Green Lantern. Emerald Knights, I'm sure it'll make some money.
Well, moving on. What else
moving
news
on,
do we have?
Moving on. Cartoon Network announced DC Nation, a multi-platform branded block of original programming and exclusive content based on DC Comics' library of legendary character properties. DC Nation is developed in partnership with Cartoon Network, Warner Brothers, and DC Entertainment. The all-new venture will harness the publishing, theatrical, and television assets together for one powerful on-air block on Cartoon Network with exclusive online content. And then they did some summary for the animated series, which is just telling us stuff is happening.
Yeah, they made a point to say it's like all about DC trying to, you know, rebrand their marketing empire as a marketing empire and actually try to sell stuff with their characters as opposed to just sitting there and watching them degrade.
I think
whatever.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's obviously just, it's pretty cool for me. It's obviously just going to be, I guess at this point, they know that Young Justice and Green Lantern and then everything else is probably going to be reruns for a little bit. But it's pretty good news otherwise, right?
Sure.
As someone who subscribes to Boomerang and gets to watch all those other shows regardless.
I have them all on the DVDs.
I really hope there isn't any reruns and shit.
Yeah, I just subscribe to Boomerang.
Mine's in my cable package.
Yeah, it's like it comes with everything else.
Yeah, you know what it means.
I own them all on the DVDs, so I don't need to.
Yeah, subscribe. I mean, you know, there's not much.
Who watches the DVDs anymore? It's all about internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much work to pop in a DVD. Like, if something's on TV and I own it, like, I own some things on DVD or they're on my computer, on my hard drive, and I'll watch them on TV, and I'll be thinking, why am I watching this on, like, I'll watch Men in Black on TBS for no reason, even though I have it on DVD. Because it's on TBS, why not?
You weren't in the
it's on.
That is silly. I mean, keep it on the background, but sitting there waiting through the commercials and stuff is just, that just shows you have ADD or something.
Well, I do other stuff while watching a movie.
Well, I think that actually does prove you.
Yeah, no, it actually does. I take ADD.
Confirms the fact.
No.
That is actually ADD. If you
yes,
that is so on topic, yeah.
So do you guys want to talk about the Flashpoint creative teams? Avin Sur and Hal Jordan, the creative teams were announced. We know what it is.
Yeah.
Technically, we don't. If anyone actually wants to know who's the new creative teams for the, or the announced creative teams for the Flashpoint, Abin Sur, and the Hal Jordan book, you can look it up at the greenironcore.com. They're there. I mean, they're both being written by Adam Slagman.
Slagman? Who knows?
I'm hoping it's Slagman.
The Hal Jordan.
That sounds infinitely better than Slag.
Yes.
The Hal Jordan one has a cover by Rax Morales. That's about it.
Interesting flash. You know, flash facts. One survives a crash. Another one doesn't get a ring.
Who's who?
Yeah, it's up to your guess until it comes out. You know, in the following month.
I'm telling you what. This is what I want Slitzes to be like. Just flashback, he survived the crash. Flashback, he never got the ring. Why can't all Slitzes be like this? Why do they have to tell me exactly what happens in the story?
Isn't there? Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to happen besides that in these stories.
Exactly.
It's going to be like 20 pages of Hal Jordan sitting there picking his nose, being like, "I feel like I did something in another reality," and then
that was another life.
That was another time. And then Kyle Rayner's going to be like cleaning his shoes. What's up, boss? Nothing. Shit.
That's a good point.
Spit in his mouth.
Totally.
Are you looking at me, boy?
Get Hal Jordan as in some drunken driving derbies going on.
What's wrong with your eyes? What do you mean, sir? Your eyes. They're ugly. I want them out.
Spick face. Get my jacket.
Hola, senor.
Oh, wow. We're going up way off topic here.
Wow. The rails are exciting.
Bueno.
Came out of nowhere. Let's just
avoid all the. Can we just edit all the racism?
No.
By at least a marginal amount. Aside of that, we all know that Brightest Day is going to be concluding soon, and the just recently announced Brightest Day Aftermath is going to be coming out in like, the next couple of months.
why did they cut Brightest Day short two issues that they're just going to bring out an after special anyways?
It's a really good question.
I think it's two these days. Final Crisis Aftermath, Blackest Night Aftermath.
I think it's less them cutting it short as much as it is just them.
well, they would have done this anyway. I mean,
they're making way for war.
Who is Jonathan Vankin, the writer?
Who knows?
Isn't he the Ghostbusters' son?
No,
Vankman.
No.
who's
or Marco?
Yeah,
Castiello.
Who's Marco Castiello?
Either.
Well, they're obviously just—it's like the same thing when they did all the tie-ins that went with Countdown and went with 52, and I'm sure there was a couple of Trinity tie-ins, unfortunately, you know, and they were all like nonsense, and I think one of them was written by Keith Giffen, but that's it, you know, and they were always so superfluous. You read them and like, I just what, and it's, you know what, you guys just did all this in 52.
Actually, Trinity never had any tie-ins.
In other news, we don't care about Rise of the Manhunter is going to be in 3D. Whoop de doo.
Yeah, and then it's going to be the first 3DS game. If for those of you who play games for children.
Oh, screw you.
Oh, that's me.
Like all seven of us.
Yeah, me too.
Right, you're included in the seven.
Speaking of which, they're adding a duo mission to DC Online that's Green Lantern based, if anybody cares. No? Nothing.
Well, you know, Eric, you're our resident, you know, DC Online, you know, universe correspondent. What's going on in Green Lantern related?
What's going on in the DCU Online universe? Wait.
Same nonsense as before. I mean, I've gone through all the Green Lantern missions at this point, and, you know, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into that, but there's all this scuttlebutt that the big update that's going to come in June or July or the end of the March. No, not that. Not the monthly update. The big update that's going to change the game that we're probably going to have to pay extra money for is going to be Green Lantern related. That's what the word is.
Well, it makes sense. The movie's coming out. Make a little bit more cash on it.
Yeah.
Word on the web.
Well, are we going to be able to get some Green Lantern rings?
No.
What they'll probably end up doing is hard light powers, and then they'll probably get Green Lanterns, because the way the game works is you have mentors, and at the end of your mentor missions you get an emblem, and you usually just get the JLA emblem. But what makes more sense is that they're going to add a green. Everybody's kind of assuming they're going to add hard light powers, not ring based, and then when you win, you're going to have Green Lantern as a mentor, Sinestro as a mentor, and you'll probably get the emblem, which would be perfectly fine with me.
Oh, Eric, keep us posted. You know, if anything else happens.
Yeah, but they're adding pretty much. An extra level that's Green Lantern related in the next update. I don't think that makes any difference to anybody unless we're really going to get into it.
That's it for the news. We just breezed through that. Come on. That's how we need to do it.
That's how we roll, son.
I feel like something's wrong with us. We didn't spend like 20 hours on the news.
there's no need to. There is actually no need to keep talking
there's
about.
There's never a need to.
Who's the writer? Who's the writer for Flashpoint? Why is the Emerald Knights coming out in WonderCon or anything else aside from that? Anyway,
why should we care?
Well, what about the scuttlebutt? I read some scuttlebutt. I don't think there was any. There was no significance.
Eric, you used the word scuttlebutt at least five times.
I really like it. It's endearing in a grandma sort of way.
I don't know what it is that Frankie's decided to air all his grievances tonight over the cast, but we'll have some words, Frankie. We'll have some words.
Have a sidebar.
Have a sidebar.
What is the scuttlebutt?
Sidebar.
What is the scuttlebutt from C2E2? I mean, there's plenty of talk about Green Lanterns, but I don't believe we found any information beyond what's currently happening this month, right? I mean, I don't think there's any.
I don't think we did. I went to all the panels because you guys made me.
And you know what they did? Somebody asked how come Kyle's mother wasn't mentioned in.
Was it?
Where's your follow up question? Asked because their answer was garbage.
No, Wes texted me and asked them, and I'm like, but that doesn't. Whatever.
No, a follow-up question. Their answer was, "Well, it wouldn't have made him go back with Kyle." And my follow-up question is, like, there's a thing called narration boxes, and or why wouldn't that make the story more interesting? And or how did anybody find out that Sornak was his daughter in the first place?
You could have sent me a message.
Why weren't you there, Eric?
I told you guys to give me questions to ask, and nobody gave me questions. West shot me 18 questions.
I didn't see this. I would have given you questions.
If I had known you were at that panel at the time, I would have asked you questions.
I knew you were there. I just didn't give you questions. I just thought you were an intelligent person.
No, I guess
we're all wrong about that.
Yeah, no, I don't know where you got that stupid idea.
No one told me you were taking questions.
Where'd you get that ridiculous idea?
I don't know. I guess I should have realized you have like six podcasts with Colton. That should have eliminated intelligence from your resume. Yeah.
Do we have to attack my mental abilities?
Yeah, no. No need to linger on this.
In related actual DC news, Andrew got the GL hoodie from DCO.
Oh yeah, I did. I finally got the Green Lantern hoodie and the Sinestro hoodie.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Which you can find on twitter.com/theGLCore.
That's right. Okay. So you guys want to talk about the comic books now?
Yeah, we're gonna bring
fuck that.
No. All right, so
let's talk about the movie. That's all anybody cares about.
Okay, right. Guys, they had an awesome exclusive movie preview with.
The movie is the final definitive GL product.
Man, we've got.
All roads have led to the movie.
Ivan
Reyes was excited for it.
Yeah. All right,
I want to talk Brightest Day number 22 for a second, can I?
Eric, we're not going to be discussing that at all. What we are going to be discussing is Brightest Day number 22. Right now.
Can I ask you guys where he got that match from? Where did he get the giant match from? Can he make matches out of thin air?
Probably.
He's Firestorm. He can transmute whatever he wants with his alchemy.
Yeah, he transmuted oxygen into...
Wait, can we at least have a proper segue into that?
No.
Thank you. I'm asking a straight-up question.
He is the Full Metal Alchemist.
I'm asking the fucking questions here.
Wasn't that
why did he change his mask to hydrogen but not just set it on fire himself? He's shooting fire from his hands.
Yeah.
And his head.
Because he wants to be a Green Lantern.
It's just
he wants to have constructs.
Because he has to teach.
You think that was Tomasi?
He's the one who always comes up with the clever bits. Geoff Johns would just have him, two splash page with him running. What is he doing? He's running. Shut up. There's a hill there. No, he's running in midair. All right, fine.
I love the way they justify splash pages at the panels. Like, yeah, Geoff wants to write in these, beautiful splash pages for the artists.
Can I just make it he's an asshole?
At least Philip Tan is getting co-writing credit on Outsiders, considering he's drawing and then Dan DiDio is just putting whatever words he wants afterwards.
poor Philip.
Well, I mean, that's
Can
how they...
Can
that's,
please
that's
how they segue in the Brightest Day 22?
Dan DiDio's here, I'm going to write this issue. In 37, Black Lightning is there. All right, Phil, show me what you got so far.
So, guys, this day has been running for 22 issues now. It's the Brightest Day.
No. There have been momentary, shots of night in this book.
I'm kidding.
Whatever.
Brightest night.
It was a joke.
All right.
The cover was pretty dope. The Gary Frank cover. The end.
Can we just talk about the issue now?
Colton, what did you think of the issue?
Oh, good times. It was actually one of the better issues because I like seeing Firestorm. I don't know why. He's just a character I kind of like. I like the concept of his power, so it's always cool to see him. And I wanted to see what happened to the Anti-Monitor ever since Blackest Night, where he appears, shoots his power, and then is randomly just fleeing across the universe. And then we kind of see him once at the beginning of Brightest Day, and then nothing. He's a character we need resolution on. We can't just keep bringing him back every 5 minutes and having him do nothing but job. This is starting to get pathetic. He's supposed to be this grand universe destroyer. What happened? Eric, what happened? Tell me. I'm asking you personally.
And what? What happened? What?
To the Anthem Monitor, why has he become such a punk?
I think he's just sitting around.
Too much Haagen-Dazs.
He's planning his next move. I don't know what he. What does he do all day, Anthem Monitor?
That's the problem. He doesn't have an agenda, so
but
he comes off as weak.
He's never been that strong, except for the point back in Crisis of Infinite Earth when he offhandedly killed Wonder Woman, and that's about it.
Well, so kind of he did destroy almost all the multiverse. Don't forget that.
He was pretty. Was pretty tough at the end of it, wasn't he? Wasn't he like just fighting like 60 guys at once and stuff?
He was arm wrestling a superpowered Spectre.
Technically, that's the same thing that happened during the Sinestro Corps War. He just got blasted. He doesn't really do much.
He got punched away by Superboy Prime, who would have not even done a single dent of damage in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Well, he's much stronger in the. I guess my only problem is, like, if you think of too much about what these villains do on their downtime, it really ruins the illusion for you, which I'm totally okay with. Like, what does Sinestro do all day? Like, what does Anti Monitor do all day?
Yeah, we did have an explanation of what he used to do back when there was a monitor attacking each other for billions of years, and then there was a coma, and then he woke up and decided to destroy the universe.
But what does he do for fun? What does he like to read? Does he watch TV? Does he eat? What does he eat? Is he a vegetarian? What does he eat? You know?
What do antimatter people eat?
Anti-burgers? I don't know.
That was my joke. It's exactly my joke.
Don't use that as a title for the episode, please.
That should be the title of the episode. Don't use that as the title of the episode, please.
Sorry, Frankie. Why don't you tell everybody what you thought of the issue? Because you're usually a level-headed fellow.
No, I really want to use anti-burgers as the episode title.
The issue itself, pretty much, again, being a Firestorm-centric, was confusing at best, only for the fact that he goes on to this entire demeanor and his entire thing that has to just defeat the Animality just to get his father back and Professor Stein. Professor Stein, which eventually then gets turned to salt, which gets played out for most of the, Brightest Day and Blackest Night and Firestorm or Deathstorm, whatever you want to call that person, gets defeated really easily by the end of the entire thing. The really messed up part of the entire issue will still have to be for the fact that what the hell is he called again? Ronnie Raymond? Is that, the other Firestorm fan?
White one? Yeah.
Yeah, the white one.
The white one.
It seems so centric around him being the fact that he is now the de facto Firestorm. I have no idea why they just ended up with this having to be an entire crisis of conscience between his characters.
It literally comes out of nowhere. I agree. We got a sense that he was kind of feeling bad earlier in the series, but they've not developed his character in any way. Like, he literally does a character 180 in this issue.
Well, maybe it was just that, he just needed to be reminded that he is a good person despite of what he did, and it wasn't his fault, like he was trying to tell Jason, and that the fact that, I am a good guy despite of what I was made to do. So it's not a complete 180, it's just,
No, I get that would be... That'd be cool.
Moment of clarity or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool if that's what happened. I just think that it's not really a clear at any point where that happens in this story. I mean, he just seems like a dick who gets stuck with this with Jason, and then they're kind of just wandering around for 20 issues. And in this issue, he's like, time to fight crime. It's like, from where? Since when? I mean, they haven't really justified him as a character to me. And this just seems as abrupt as the rest of the endings for the characters. This just seems more abrupt because I feel like he's just flying around for 20 issues.
And I keep feeling that the White Lantern battery itself is just a giant Deus Ex Machina. It's just pretty much like,
Deus.
It's done.
Deus Ex Machina? It's done. Yeah.
It seems strange. It's giving people rewards when they're getting to the end of their lines. The end of that, which is a little too literal for my taste. And also, does anybody care about Professor Stein being turned to salt? How do you take a salt shot from someone?
One question I have is the only chemical formula that Deathstorm knows is salt? Because there are other complex chemical forms he could have done that would have been a lot more interesting.
He knows how to develop a gun, and, that's about it.
Deathstorm's pretty dumb.
They should call him Death Salt.
I don't even quite get where he comes from anyway. Isn't he supposed to be just an exaggerated version of Ronnie? And they've yet to explain, why he is able to exist at all. I mean, I thought the whole
thing. Or any of them.
Okay, I mean, they haven't explained that. I should have asked that. Why didn't I ask that? I thought we knew.
Well, I guess they
would have told you read the finale.
Yeah, the program's probably replicated by a ring, right? So,
I get that he was kind of copied into the matrix of the Firestorm, but it's not really explained very well anymore.
Yeah, and if he is the Firestorm double, why do they need the White Lantern at all? I mean, if we're getting the sense that Ronnie Raymond is like the creation of the Big Bang, isn't Deathstorm equally as powerful? I mean, why have them here at all? Why not just vaporize and be like, sorry, what was that noise? Anyway, Deathstorm, continue doing what you're doing and destroy the universe,
It's weird, especially with the fact that their leader isn't the Animator. They brought the White Lantern to the Animator for some reason, but that wasn't their leader.
A lot of what's going on is unclear, and not unclear in an interesting mystery. I mean, I don't know. I feel like we've gone over all this a million times with this series, but nothing that's happening is terribly clear, and it's not clear in a, like, oh my god, what's happening? It's not clear in a, I don't understand what's going on kind of way. Like, it's literally just colors, you know.
At least they're pretty colors.
I don't think this is actually one of the ugliest professional comics I've seen coming out of DC in a long, long time.
You be positive about anything?
Like, the last couple pages were cool, and the cover was good.
Never mind. Didn't really have any problem with the art whatsoever. I thought the art was pretty top notch in this issue.
I think it's incomprehensible. I couldn't tell what was happening. I couldn't tell anything that was going on. They were just finding out some random ass asteroid. It seemed like
The asteroid wasn't supposed to be random. It was supposed to be the same asteroid as in Crisis of Infinite Earths again, which is
the one where the Anti-Monitor woke up from.
Yeah, it doesn't look the same, but it's supposed to be that asteroid.
I think without the special effect coloring and the whoosh sound effect, the visual of Animator's mask disappearing I didn't even understand what happened. I was like, wait, what's happening? And then I was like, oh, whoosh. Oh, his mask disappeared. Okay, that's fine. You know what I mean? I just like, there's certain information that isn't conveyed very well, you know?
I can honestly say the coloring on this, on the book was muted for me. It didn't really stand out at all. I mean, sure, you can have the argument as an Anti-Monitor universe, everything's supposed to look, you know, sort of like dim or, you know, something. But it just looks washed. It doesn't stand out for whatever reason.
But do the colors need to stand out initially? I mean, for some works, actually, faded colors can work better than just bright, brilliant colors.
No, I understand that. For certain mediums and certain like, you know, artistic design, I can understand the colors being muted. In this book, no, these colors should have been standing out more.
Well, here's the problem, right? I think that so much of the book takes place in this Animator negative space, and most of the characters like these gray and dark blue amalgamations and stuff, and it really would have been up to the artist to kind of make this space work. And it looks like he just drew figures, and obviously there's just some kind of like computer shading program going on in the background. I mean, he didn't draw any of these backgrounds. You know, it's just rock shading in the background. So Frankie's right that it looks really muted. I actually think the colorist is working overtime on this. I mean, he's working as hard as he can to get, you know, Firestorm to stand out, and he's over animating some art, you know, just to cover up some stuff that Scott Clark straight up just didn't draw, you know? Like, I feel like he didn't draw any of the fire on Firestorm's head. It's all post.
Yeah, most of that's post.
Trying to find any picture where he even drew the outline. He didn't even draw the outline. It's all just post.
Well, wow. I like fire, though.
A character like Firestorm, you almost don't want to draw the fire in this day and age.
I do agree it looks better than, I don't know. I feel like another guy could really make it work, but I do agree that it looks cool. It's just that look at what Ivan Reyes does at the end. He draws a little bit of fire, and it looks awesome. You know, I mean, Scott Clark is just, I'm just pointing out the fact that Scott Clark barely even drew this. It looks like he probably was one of those guys they went to because he's quick and not because he's any good.
I feel like the only thing I really had a problem with this issue was Deathstorm's dialogue. It's like he would like set up his little jokes by explaining the history of the character at the same time. Like, Ronnie, remember back in the day when you used to be this kind of guy? Oh yeah, well you're not anymore. Like, it's so horrible. But
well, again, it's written out of the style of the Blackest Night, you know, Blackest Night style, where everybody's supposed to be like, I'm supposed to get a rise out of you, so you know, support emotions or whatever. So it's I'm gonna say this really weak joke of me telling you something really nasty and be like, hey, remember that time when you sucked? Yeah, you sucked.
Well, somebody had said, I believe, I don't know if it was at a convention or an interview or something, they said Deathstorm's dialogue is supposed to be like a 90s character parody, I guess. But, I mean, Firestorm wasn't 80s, a 90s
actually,
character.
Which is funny.
Oh, 80s, right. But it's not, like, it's the same way he writes the dialogue whenever Kyle gets possessed. He just says dude and cool a lot, you know, and makes a lot of random, like, Bill and Ted references or something.
I think my favorite part was that they said he's like an 80s character, and then they said a bunch of stuff that wasn't very 80s.
Yeah, like he's an 80s character. He's like, oh, I love the Matrix, you know, there's no spoon, wait, what? I think the dialogue is overwritten because it's trying to compensate that nothing happened. They're trying to wrap up the story as quick as they can.
Is Jeff or Peter writing this?
They're both supposed to be writing it. You gotta assume Pete's doing the heavy lifting, though. He is pretty good at overwriting dialogue. Every word out of, I mean,
yeah,
every time
I would assume that Peter was writing the Firestorm and Martian Manhunter pages.
How do you guys feel about the climactic end to all the Black Lanterns that were reconstituted?
Yeah, they'll be back. Don't worry about it.
Wasn't that?
Yeah, more like
I thought they were just temporarily.
They were actually created by the Deathstorm.
Well, that was something else that was said by somebody at the convention.
Eddie Bergen's confirmed that.
Yeah,
the Black Lantern be sticking around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Firestorm doesn't have any arch enemies that anybody knows about.
That's the sole reason, and that's fine
Killer
with me.
Killer Frost. Yeah,
You know, I want to say now that the series is wrapping up, it did a really poor job of reintroducing these characters to an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just because it was bad. If it was bad, that's one thing. Whatever. There's a lot of bad comics coming out, and it sells, so obviously something's working. But I think that's more promotion than anything else. But I don't know anything more about Firestorm than I did than when the series started, and I don't know anything about Firestorm. You know, and same thing with like Hawkman. I mean, I'm even more confused about Hawkman than I was when the series started. I mean, it didn't really do a good job of presenting the information or these characters in a way that's palatable to a new audience. You know, I mean, if I asked my brother about Firestorm. He'd be like, oh, yeah, Deathstorm's pretty cool looking. And that's all he'd say.
I only really expected one thing come into all this. Was just a halfway decent Aquaman story throughout, and it failed on every level. It's probably the most anticlimactic ending I've seen in my life as far as...
Yeah, that was my favorite ending out of all of them so far, but I agree it was a little anticlimactic. Especially considering it's a year-long storyline. I mean, come on. I mean, people should have died at the end of this, except for, who cares about Professor Stein, man? He wasn't even in continuity up until Blackest Night. You know?
that's true.
Karen read this?
No, I did not.
Good for you.
Neither did I, so don't worry about it.
Bing.
No, I remember you.
I was making Karen feel better.
No, it's fine. I did a lot of traveling in the last 3 weeks, so I actually picked up 3 weeks worth of comics yesterday at the store, and I have a lot of reading to get through. I did read the two Green Lantern books, but I didn't read.
That's a good enough segue as any, right, Frank?
That's a very good segue. We're gonna be,
she shoots, actually, she scores.
Yeah, that's actually...
you clever bastard.
We actually came here to talk about the beginning of the War of Green Lanterns, Part 1, Green Lantern.
Good God, y'all!
What is it good for?
Absolutely everything, apparently.
Say it again.
Green Lantern, number one. Pretty much the beginning of this war. The beginning of this war with...
Such a Green Lantern number 64.
Well, you know, say it's number 64.
You said Green Lantern number one, though.
No, part one, I said. Part one of this War of Green Lantern.
Let's just point out that the cover doesn't ever happen.
Yeah, the cover itself is actually very misleading.
Some
of it actually occurs in a way, but it doesn't occur in the way
it's possible, you know, this might happen as more characters
are
broken.
Listen, then. You know that the covers never matter. The covers don't matter, but, like...
Yeah, it's still,
you know, it just looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a giant selling point, but
it's misleading because, I mean, I guess that's the big elephant in the room, right? The disappointment we all have about the end up did.
Well, we'll get there in a second. Everything pretty much to explain the entire book, you have to start from the beginning. Pretty much Hal Jordan is being a renegade Green Lantern, about to be cornered and collared by his fellow corpsmen. You know, here's where the river is going to start coming down. Krona has all the entities, goes after the Guardians. The Book of the Black is revealed. Most of them are being now attacked by the Legacy of the Dark, who's being brought back again. And now we understand, now we see what really happens to spark this war. Krona infects all the Guardians with the parasitic entities of the emotional spectrum. You know, rage, whatever, love, whatever. And he forces Parallax, or, you know, instills Parallax back into the Green Lantern Central Power Battery. Now, in doing so, this apparently reactivates the impurity that the Green Lanterns had in their rings, even though apparently, as all we've all known, that impurity was still there. They just had to overcome it. Now, apparently, this impurity is full force unleashed on the Green Lantern core and causing them all to be possessed. Or mind-controlled, or persuaded by their fears to attack one another. So the War of Green Lantern is sparked by their fears, or, again, basically, brainwash.
We have nothing to fear but Parallax itself.
Mind control. Yeah, I think that's the big issue. I think everybody can agree that we all have with this, that it's unfortunate that the storyline has turned into a mind control
thing. Actually, my big issue is that at the end, Ion doesn't possess. Ion isn't a parasite.
Yeah, it's not a parasitic entity.
To explain, the ion entity
he's being controlled by.
It's a symbiosis. It does allow the wearer or the possessor or the host of the ion entity to increase their power, per se. It doesn't really have control over the body. It just is the balance of the force.
It's supposed to allow full control.
They're all being controlled by Krona.
I don't know. That's kind of a stretch.
I mean, that's why
you would assume that when he goes into a Guardian, that the Guardian would be infinitely powerful and be the last stance against.
I think that's what the problem is. I think that's the big. Oh, you mean like he'd be the one that would turn around? It's possible that'll happen. I happen to think that's the big thing, that all the entities are under the control of Corona. I mean, we don't know about Ion, the actual entity sentience. We've never seen it do anything besides be pulled from one character and put into another.
And so, swim around in circles.
Yeah, exactly. So there could be the idea being that Corona is actually physically controlling the
entity. Maybe he screwed with them when he had them chained up. I mean, who knows? But it's not really explained very well.
Yeah, there's something about...
And it's kind of a self-con if it's just, it proceeds as is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just... I mean, Corona's just, I control the entities now, and that's just the way it is. I mean, we saw him having a fight. I think wasn't he arguing with Parallax a little bit, you know, when that was happening? And so there's a certain, he probably has less control over certain ones than others, and that'll probably end up being a part of the storyline. But, you know, yeah, I didn't mind that so much. I just accepted it as is. I mean, I think we're supposed to get the sense that the Guardians actually took power from Ion to make the rings as opposed to them creating Ion. So if he's his own entity, then the rules are kind of off.
That is possible.
But back to the mind.
But
yeah, no, the matter at hand.
Back to the mind control thing. I mean, I think a lot of people's problem with this is, you know, we were expecting some kind of an ideological sort of civil war brewing.
I don't know why.
Jeff has been talking about in conventions, you know, we're going to see the rest of the laws and stuff, and we've seen flash forwards of, like, Hal on trial for this and that, attacking the Guardians.
Or we're going to come. And the way the last issue ended, it ended in the Guardians saying, well, it's us versus Hal, and whose side are you going to take? And all the solicitations have been like, well, the Earth Green Lanterns are going to have to team up to take on the entire Corps and stuff. And I was like, all right, well, obviously, and the cover, and I'm like, they're setting it up where it's going to be, like, you know, this guy versus that guy.
Every implication was implying that it was going to be a choice, not mind control.
And then it's just mind control. It's like the trope that they use in like everything whenever a superhero
it's very
supervillainy.
The other thing, one of you guys was saying, I think it was probably Eric, was saying that it's really stupid the fact that it's Parallax who was in the power battery for decades, infinite
billions
time.
Of years.
Billions of years.
And he never once
controlled anybody.
Well, apparently the way that was Force, and this going back to like Rebirth days, while Parallax was there, he was asleep. He slumbered from, you know, untold eons and millennia ever since the Guardians had trapped him within the battery. When Sinestro went into the power battery, when the Guardians forced him in there to imprison him, he found Parallax and then nudged him awake
then Parallax had to specifically inject Hal Jordan. I don't know.
Nothing's being explained very well, but that's just what's going on. I think, you know, we just got to accept that's the way it is. Parallax wasn't actively trying to possess people because he was asleep or whatever.
It's the way that Jeff wants it.
I guess that works.
Can I get to the issue real quick? I don't want to start nitpicking because I really liked aspects of this issue, and I really liked a lot of the art in this issue. But I want to get my first nitpick out of the way. And this is not to pick on Hal. I apologize that I pick on Hal all the time. But the narration at the beginning says that Hal escaped Parallax possession through sheer willpower. I don't know if anybody read the 12 years of continuity involving that, but in no way, shape, or form did he actually escape Parallax through sheer willpower. I mean, he actually died and had to be possessed by the Spectre for like a year and a half before he even had the ability to, you know, free himself from the mind control of it. And then I think his body had to be resuscitated. I'm not even exactly sure how he came back to life in Rebirth, but I know for sure he didn't actually escape through sheer willpower.
Yeah,
he had to have help from Gods Number Two.
Kyle had to pull his ass out of the sun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of issues. I mean, you know, sheer willpower. Come on, man. There's like a lot of people working for it.
A lot of logistics there, actually.
Yeah.
For sheer willpower, he sacrificed his life, but that's about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in that narration that's done by a Salak saying to like paint Hal Jordan in a nice picture, you know, to paint him in a better light than he has.
Yes.
He's got to make a case to let him stay, so he's got to make it sound good.
Right. So there's that whole power of him escaping with sheer willpower. Not only did he neglect or omit the reference of him killing a lot of Corps members, de-handing Boudica and destroying the Corps for, I don't know, probably 2 years in DC continuity now.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Oh, he's a nice guy. I wanted to get to know him.
The funny thing is, rubbing
dirt and walk it off.
Yeah.
I just think bringing up Parallax so much in current continuity is just confusing. I mean, obviously, Geoff Johns wants to distance himself as much as possible from, you know, everything from Emerald Twilight on with Hal Jordan until he started writing
it
again.
It sure brings it up an awful lot, doesn't it?
It sure brings it up a lot, you know. But no kind of regret or guilt, just brings up Parallax a lot and the possession a lot. Another little nitpick is that a big problem I had with the last issue is all of a sudden, you know, Krona's like, I destroyed this sector, whatever. And then the issue before that, you know, Atrocitus says, now I finally have revenge on the guy who destroyed my sector and bit his throat. And I was like, at what point were we given this information, like, that Krona's the one that destroyed the sector, and why did Atrocitus know this? And now this issue gives us the explanation. Atrocitus knew the whole time, just didn't tell anybody, and they attack him for it. Though it's funny how he reveals it here. It's like, you don't remember him saying that to Krona, like, you're the guy who destroyed my sector, and the Wild Honor revenge on the whole time, and I'm going to bite your throat. And I guess they weren't paying attention or something. I don't know.
I mean, you know, it was a sticky situation they were in. The art was strong.
Some of the art in this was pretty boss, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I thought the art was, like, the best Doug art we've seen.
Like, I'll tell you what, there's four anchors on this, and Doug's not one of them. I mean, I'm sure he ghosted a little bit, but there's four anchors on this. I'm sure Doug's inks are the best ones, but, like, normally when there's, like, eight or nine anchors on the book, you know, it gets to be bad at points, but I thought this was good.
Yeah, there's a couple of really amazing pictures. I mean, there's some that don't really work for me, like the splash page of the Green Lanterns, holding off Hal and stuff. But the big splash page with Krona and
that was cool.
The entities is awesome, and
yeah, of course.
First page is pretty good.
All pretty good. Pretty nice.
Well, here's the thing,
Brandon. What do you want to bring up?
Yeah, Eric said he didn't want to nitpick, and I don't want to be that guy either. So I just want to bring this up real quick. Like the whole. New Guardians, because I don't know what else to call them, being sucked into the Book of Black twice,
the Rainbow
Corps, two-ish back-to-back, seems like a horrible way to take them out of the story. Like,
it seems a little obvious.
Because once this quote-unquote war is over, they're just going to pop back out. It's not going to be, you know, some big, you know, arc with them traveling in the Book of Black, learning something interesting.
They're just
or
out of the way.
Spiritual
journeys.
Just
be gone. And I thought that was like that was the worst part of this issue. I didn't mind Salik, you know, and his 180 from the last fucking issue. But no, this was like the biggest cop out ever. It's like, yeah, we're just gonna suck them
really,
in.
Really,
here,
that was the biggest cop out ever.
Now
we're done.
Is there a way to taking them out of the book entirely?
I don't think
I was okay with it. There's no.
I didn't really care.
Brandon, I don't think that was the biggest cop out in this book.
Well, you know what? Who I want to hear? Bing. I want to say. I know you read this issue, so give me.
I did. I'm flipping through it now again to remind myself. Well, one of the things that I really kind of dug, and again, this is just because I like silly things like this. I loved the construct librarian that cracked me up. The opening, I got very much the feeling with this issue, especially with all of the exposition on the very, very first page, that they were kind of very aware of the fact that there are going to be people like me reading this. They're going to be, this is officially the, all right, we've got a movie coming out. Let's give as much exposition as possible. Let's, you know, try and make Hal Jordan look like he's not possibly one of the most boring characters ever. And they did it. They did a pretty good job. I mean, I kind of dug Hal in this. There's a couple pages in this that I really, really loved. I love the page where all the entities and Krona show up, and just the color in that very first big. It's the page opposite the Flashpoint ad. I love the coloring in that top panel. And then I look at the bottom, and I think it's really cool that they have, you know, the Guardians, and they've got, like, yellow coming out of their nose and their ears. I thought that was really kind of cool. But then, you know, in the back of my head, all I can think of is that Power Thirst YouTube thing, you know, and now you can use your face to host sweet rave parties.
400 babies.
Yeah, exactly. The big splash page with all the entities is kind of cool, although Proselyte is looking a little too, that's an image right there is what that is. That's like Georgia O'Keeffe, like, yeah.
I think they're all vaginas. I think Adara is straight up a vagina in her mouth.
Well, that was my favorite thing. My favorite thing they did at C2E2 was like okay, yeah, the art is the green one. It's like well, you guys know, and then they just started yelling out colors, and everybody yelled out the entity name. Like, wow. You guys know more than us. Why aren't you on the panel? Like,
because yeah, why aren't they on the panel?
Yeah, why?
Yannick was a word I learned a couple years ago. That works. But yeah. I don't know, I kind of dug it. I was excited that I knew sort of what was going on. I liked how Parallax looked a little bit like Archaeopteryx in the
I think the funny thing is that, you know, all the things you're saying, you know, you're like, I kind of like this, I kind of think I thought it was interesting, and then everything you're saying is an art thing. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just saying like it's.
I was going to say what I really dug was the Mankey. Get it, guys? We're yeah.
I see what you did there.
Oh, she said she liked Hal.
I usually have an issue with Hal. I'm much more looking forward to talking about the next one, which I think I enjoyed a little bit more than this. But this was nice and exposition-y, and we kind of get an idea. And
this issue really kind of keeps the trend of John's kind of has an idea of how to set things up as like the oh shit moment. The start's always like, oh no, this threat happens, what are they going to do? He's really following up with that, I think, with this issue is one of the good things. Although, I'm not a fan of the mind control, but
yeah, I was just going to say,
it does add to the threat.
No, come on, yeah, like all the guardians possessed by entities that make them, I mean, infinitely powerful characters that possess by entities that make them even more powerful. I mean, you know, it is like a legitimately heavy threat, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, if you can get past the whole, you know, the stupid mind control Deus Ex Machina.
I honestly think it would have been a better trend just to take Parallax out of the battery and stick him in the Guardian, give us one last Guardian possessed by
Movie. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If as long as you can get past the whole that stupid thing, then it's interesting. You know, if they call this something else, if they call this, I don't know, Possession of the Guardians
battle.
Or whatever. Yeah, instead of War of the Green Lanterns.
Puberty of the Guardians.
They had to call it War of the Green Lanterns and do that whole stupid
just
thing.
Just call it the Guardian War, I mean, if anything,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That, they're going to fight the Guardians, but whatever.
But, you know, War of the Green Lanterns gets more readers, and, you know, I'm sure they'll get rid of the whole mind control thing like 3 issues in, and it'll still be War of the Green Lanterns, but it'll just be fighting the Guardians.
Yeah, there's no chance they're going to be fighting the Guardians.
No, none. They will.
The Guardians? Yeah, they'll fight the Guardians. Of course they will.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point. Gantit's going to fight them, and Gantit will probably go down at some point. You know,
oh, poor Gantit.
It'll be them versus the Guardians and stuff.
Gantit. Yeah,
We'll get to Gantit in a second.
Is that it?
No, I have to say, there's a few foreshadowing moments that I can see going on in this issue that pretty much illustrates what may or may not go down in the rest, you know, in the following issues. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to. Well, to say pretty much the rings line, like lying down, the reflection of Hal Jordan is in front of the Sinestro Corps ring. That's pretty much all I can think of right now.
Well, yeah, I think Frankie and I talked about this, but I think it's, I don't know, it's probably pretty explicit to everybody now that the obvious course of action is for the Green Lantern characters to lose their rings, and then I guess that's more about the next issue, but to lose their rings, and everybody's going to get a different colored ring because Hal's got the rings. And that's kind of, you know, the next logical step is that, you know, John will take this color and, you know, Guy will take this color and Kyle.
And Kyle, I think Hal's going to be keeping green.
I want to see Kyle Rayner in a Star Sour
that,
Fire.
That'd be too like, obvious.
I think
you and me both.
The obvious choices are John as the Sinestro Corps, right?
Really? And no, I think John is Compassion.
Is
John,
there? Yeah,
I can honestly say I can see Hal Jordan possessing a Sinestro Corps ring.
Yeah,
that's the big twist. We're supposed to like they have that solicited cover where one of the characters is a Sinestro Corps member, but maybe. I don't know.
Guy,
I'm not sure.
We never did see him in the costume. That's a pretty good sign that we're probably going to see him with the ring.
Who knows?
But we did.
There's no way Guy is going to pick up one of those rings.
He's got the red ring. He doesn't need it.
He's got
the red ring. So. That's not a problem.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing, though. We've got, what, 5 rings? And only 3 characters that need a new ring.
Well,
so
I mean, you know, they might kill a Wog.
That's the interesting thing.
Just kill a Wog.
Yeah, they'll probably deprogram a few other ones along
that's
the way.
That's right, kill a Wog.
Maybe Gantit. They could throw a ring on Gantt. I don't know.
More like Aresia and Killua will become members of this.
Well, no, it's characters that have been possessed and Killua was possessed during Rebirth.
I can see them throwing Gantt at a blue one. I don't know.
Again, that makes the blue ones, right? I think the idea is we're supposed to, obviously foreshadowing in GLC, we're supposed to get the sense that Kyle's going to get a blue one. I think that's they're either leading us down this path to divert us, or they're just doing really, really poor foreshadowing, you know?
You don't get how foreshadowing works. You got to predict the thing that's going to happen.
You can't just tell us. It's like, soliciting is not foreshadowing.
You guys want to maybe move on to part 2?
Yes, we're going to be moving on
because we're already almost
can I point out how badass Krona is by just grabbing that dude's like jaw
face.
And pulling it. I love that. That was just so awesome.
And shoving a giant red bull down his throat.
I love the way Doug Mankey these Guardians so much. I just want to see the Guardians brawl. I don't even care about the Lanterns at this point. I want to see Gigantic go fist to fist.
I thought that was the worst part of the issue, is that they just stood there and let that shit happen.
Not fight back!
The Iron Guardian looks like Swamp Thing.
They apparently expect their core members to do all their heavy lifting for them. I mean, the only time
they
we ever seen them
far away.
The like, only time we ever seen them do any sort of thing was when the Anti-Monitor showed up and we're like, okay, we're gonna start fighting now. I'm like, all right.
But, I just want to understand the chain of events going through the Guardian's head. They had to get notification that the Alpha Lanterns had just, you know, fucking
gone offline.
Yeah, like what happened there?
Why did Gigantic
get that in his head, but he's still a fucking Guardian.
That happened too fast.
I don't understand how, like, I'm back on the first page, you know, where they're, we're on Oa, and it's just the idea of, well, we gotta come to terms with the fact that the rings may have a flaw. Maybe you should just come to terms with the fact that you guys are really shitty Guardians.
But it's all totally new, too, because the Guardians have come to the realization that they're bad Guardians because they don't have enough humanity, like, four times in the continuity. Yeah.
There was someone on a site and brought up a old page where the Guardians like burst out of control laughing, and they're like, "You guys need to laugh more often," telling the core that they need to laugh more often, and that's part of life. And I was just like, "Well, that's something that has been ignored." Guardians clearly have a sense of humor, but that's not piece anymore.
We could have a whole podcast about things they've forgotten about. I mean, that's just...
We could.
That's one of the things I appreciate. I wish they would put out, not to be like this guy and suggest another miniseries, but they should put out a History of the Green Lantern miniseries that Geoff Johns should write, because I'm tired of getting retcon tidbits of continuity throughout.
You would assume we'd have another Secret Files by now.
I mean, exactly. Or just give me a secret origins of the Green Lantern Corps.
I feel like he doesn't know, and it may change tomorrow, so that's...
Exactly. I'm speaking up as they go.
It's just better not to, you know, put it in print.
Yeah,
it keeps him free. Keeps him able to, you know, do more.
It all goes back to the New Earth mentality, which is just, you know, it's anything goes.
Oh my god!
Part two
of Green Lantern Corps.
First thing must be said that I think we said it when we saw the solicitations, but I do want to reiterate that on the cover, Kyle's robot is sucking John's gun dick.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what?
If you look on the cover of Green Lantern Corps number 58.
That is so true.
No. It's just giving a hand job while it's pointed at its face.
What I was thinking of. Is it's like, what kind of a, you know, he's looking at it going, I wonder what happens here.
He's going to chow down on John Dick. That's what he's going to do. He's going to bite your dick off.
I was at C2E2 last weekend. And on Sunday, I noticed that I got a sketch from Ryan Benjamin, artist of Batman Beyond, on Saturday, and that was pretty cool. And on Sunday, I noticed that Doug Mankey and Tyler Kirkham are doing sketches. And, you know, I almost went up, and I noticed Mankey was doing side profiles, and whatever. So I ended up not doing it. I ended up going home. And after looking at this issue, I'm actually pretty glad that I didn't get a Kirkham sketch. Because, listen, Tyler Kirkham's a nice guy. You know, I'd sit down and talk to him all day, but this is just... he does hair quite well, but everything else...
Really? Like, he does hair quite well?
There's one shot where the hair looks good, but that's it. I don't know. Okay. The first page, the second panel... Well, Kyle looks like a fucking meth head. What is the deal?
Yeah, he does kind of look like a scene.
Is that the unmasked part?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. Okay. No mask.
Well, how would you react if you saw this little blue midget holding a green ring?
I wouldn't look like a meth head in my teeth and skin. I wouldn't react like that. It makes it... If I had not known anything about Kyle, I would assume he was a fucking hobo when he found him. I'm not even joking. I'm like...
I think he was.
He walked out of a bar and then he looks like a tramp.
He was an alley rat, right? Maybe he was a hobo in Geoff Johns' continuity.
Street rat. I don't buy that.
He does look horrible.
Hey, let's not be too hasty.
He has a nice jawline, though, I guess. For a model like somebody, or something.
Just fucking eat a sandwich, you fuck. Look at his hand.
It's
like a character actor.
If you look at the last panel on that same page, it's great art.
No, it's really not.
No, it is not. Look at those women.
Look at the same face exactly. Look at all those women. They look terrible. absolutely horrible.
That's perfectly fine to me.
Just Alex looks anorexic.
Alex probably was anorexic.
They don't. See, not. These people do not look human.
They all right. do.
As I want to say, as someone who is dreading this issue and who screamed the most about Tony Bedard, you know, and the horrible things he's done to Kyle, and just dreading this issue, I was relieved but also pretty disappointed in the fight, I guess. But besides even that, I was explaining to Frankie that in lieu of Kyle rejoining the Corps, Kyle, when he joined the Corps, didn't really – he knew about superheroes but wasn't like a fanboy of the heroes. He didn't really know who Green Lantern was. And he was kind of literally in the dark, and he was kind of shitty when it came to kind of standing up to his responsibility as a Corps member. You know, when Ganthet would show up, he was a dick to him, you know, and all that stuff. And so he really was just used to being this kind of solitary guy, and he really grew into his own person by the time the Ion storyline ended, and by the time, you know, Benjamin Robb, whoever was horrifyingly writing those stories, towards this Black Circle stuff, towards the end of the run, he was his own guy. And they never really dealt with him as a member of the new Corps, besides him just being a really amicable guy who's like, who owns a bar and is really good friends with Guy, you know what I mean? Like, very vanilla character. And at least, as much as Tony Bedard's writing is like a sledgehammer to the face, he's getting into what Kyle, I mean, he's overdoing it, but he's getting to what Kyle would really feel like, you know, in terms of being in the Green Lantern Corps. I mean, he's the only person who never really earned his ring, as opposed to just he actually had to earn his ring, you know what I mean? You know, and
yeah. It's cheap, think, though. Though.
You know?
So, it's cheap because, you know, he's putting a history there that's not there. He's like, yeah, they don't respect me, but we've never seen this.
They love him. Yeah, only the readers don't respect him.
Hey, so guys, could you go to the page before the staple where Kyle shoots, you know, he's shooting all the lantern constructs at John, and John is apparently half of him is hulking out, and he's also kicking himself in the leg. And not making it's like I'm, but well, what
to get to that horrible art in a second. Let's actually go back to what Eric was trying to say at that point in the storyline because it's actually very interesting in the way that this characterization is good. I mean, in a way, it's overdone, as Eric's saying. It is a way to how Kyle should be feeling, but. It's, as Brandon said before, it's just brand new. It has never been addressed before in any kind of continuity. Kyle has been the most acceptable Green Lantern in apparently since the Corps has started. And the whole the first two issues, the first two pages of this book itself is pretty much outlining what this new apparently the new way of looking at both John Stewart and Kyle Rayner. In this new light, it's supposed to be. It's pretty much just getting these two pages out of the way. Now you know what they're fighting about. And then when actually they get to the fight, it's pretty much a whole, I never respected you because you're the type of guy that, you know, I fought in wars with. You're crazy.
Conflict. No, the implication was, I think, that he was the kind of guy who just rushed in and got killed.
It is impulsive.
You're not disciplined like me.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good too. It was really hard for me to get past the art, which is weird because like before I was fine. I didn't really care as much. I could get past it, but this issue was just.
You would think they would have had this conversation beforehand because they've never really, you know, been best of buddies before.
They really knew.
They've actually been very good friends.
They go clubbing together. They go on double dates, and they'd go.
Yeah. They were actually like best friends for like.
They would hang out every week.
Totally. Warrior. 5 years.
Out of all the former Green Lantern members during Kyle's run, John Stewart was the most seen.
Oh yeah, they had whole issues focusing just on John Stewart and stuff during Kyle's run. So they were really good friends. It's just kind of like
I can buy that the stuff was kind of unsaid between them. I actually think this is sort of a breakthrough issue for Bedard, and it's probably my favorite one so far of his work. And
yeah, in terms of characterization,
the art did not bother me in the slightest. I mean, some of the things you bring up. I look at it and go, okay, I can kind of see that, but it's
sure, yeah.
I don't know. It was. I mean, I guess after the first couple of pages, it started to get not as bad. But
I think if you have a problem with Kirkham's art at this point, it's just not for you.
But I haven't had a problem with Kirkham's art as much a problem. I haven't had much of a problem before. This issue though, there was just a few glaring things. I can get past those.
Come on, look at the page where their costumes are dissolving, and he doesn't even know how to draw it. The colorist has to come in post and fix it for him. You know,
oh, yeah, it's true.
It's hideous, and his proportions are just awful. You know, and
can we mention Ganthet's constructs of the Tiny Guardians is the best thing ever? Like trying to pull those rings off was like the most adorable thing ever.
Yeah, it's kind of weird
that
but
yeah. he just couldn't figure out what to make a construct of.
He's like, one pulling Kyle's hair. It's hilarious. One's pulling Kyle's hair. He's like, aww.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
Stop it, buddy.
I didn't want to say that the page where Ganthet's hand is exploding is kind of cool.
I didn't like that.
That reference actually reminded me of when John Stewart almost overloaded his ring because, you know, rings have a limit and John had a high will. Well, this is the Guardian. Who is going to have higher will than a freaking Guardian?
Yeah, sure.
So he just put too much strain on his ring and it just backfires on him.
See, if it wasn't for that thumb,
there's the corruption,
you know, in the top right part of the page, I wouldn't have known that.
Wouldn't even have known his hand exploded. Yeah. I don't understand why he needed to use the ring to do it anyway if he could just use the Guardian powers to do it, you know?
And
not for nothing.
You see him.
And Kyle's ring always returns right to his finger when it comes off.
So.
Well, no. It doesn't do that anymore.
It doesn't. Yeah, no. That was.
He just keeps throwing them across the room and stuff.
He has to call for it, is what it was.
I thought it was kind of weird that Kyle's mask stayed on. After the entire costume dissolved, it just like even if it makes sense that his mask for whatever reason would stay on, why would he keep it on?
It's like the Freddy Krueger doll. He took it to the boiler room and made it, and that's his thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The real mask.
It's going from the top down, dissolving. That would be like the first thing to go.
Neither one of them are wearing shoes. I just want to point that out, that they don't bother wearing shoes when they
suit up. Well, you know, they could have been at home when they got called.
Be glad they were wearing pants. Yeah.
But we don't know that Kyle's mask didn't dissolve only because the Kirkham, again, they're so horrific. The last time, look at the panel where you see the big splash.
It's just green across his face.
Yeah, that's true.
No, the page where it's like, because it looks like Conan sent out a search party where it's the big splash page. First off, 95% of the lanterns drawn on this page are incomprehensible. And the bottom two panels are some of the worst art I've ever seen. I mean, look at, first off, he sort of draws a mask on Kyle's face, but it makes it look like he's wearing like some kind of Frankenstein face.
Visor.
I mean, the next page, it's pretty clear.
But the Ganthet's face.
He's definitely still wearing a mask for no reason.
The colorist is like, I don't know what the fuck you're drawing here. Like, I can't do your whole goddamn job for you. You know, you stock Clark.
And the other thing I thought was the same thing. You know, it's a complaint, but the whole fact that Kyle Rayner was special the whole time, and you know, they got hammered into us.
You are the hope now.
Yeah.
I like to say, because they're pointing out stuff that they really, I like, as a fan.
Well, it goes back to the Power of Ion storyline. Yeah.
But the Power of Ion explain why he was chosen, I mean, but they're ignoring 90% of the stuff they did with Kyle.
Yeah, whatever. I mean,
well, how's this? How about, since we feel that Kyle's going to end up with the Blue Ring, John's going to end up with a whatever, how about instead of what we think they're going to do, what would you rather see? Would you rather Kyle get the blue ring or the red ring?
It just depends. It depends on what the plan is for him after that.
I mean, what would you want?
I would like him to be a starfire.
I
want to see him in that outfit.
Assless chaps.
It's possible they'll give it to him.
They're all assless.
Yeah, no, we know.
I'm thinking he might end up with the indigo ring.
It's fun to say assless chaps.
Yeah, it's a recurring joke.
I like saying assed chaps. Chaps with ass.
Brandon, what are you saying?
Yeah, I was thinking that Kyle might end up with the indigo ring simply because we're never going to get over the fact that, you know, he's had all these girlfriends and they sequentially died, that he would end up with this compassionate thing and he's able to say, look, I'm done with it. You can do whatever you want to do. I'll get over it. That's who I am.
It could be yellow. It could be another one.
He could definitely have hope because he hasn't given up on getting a girlfriend yet after the last three attempts.
I think obviously the purple, pink, and blue he can get. And I think it would be cool if he got the pink just because it would be nice to see an actual male get the pink as opposed to the stalker rapist who got possessed by the predator or whatever.
There's no way
they would give the pink because I think that's too much of a baiting. You know, that's too baiting. You know, that's too much all the fans who are – Hal fans over Kyle's, I guarantee you 95% of them are homophobes. So they would just think that was awesome that he was wearing the gay ring, you know, so it would almost be reason enough for them to do it.
Whatever.
No. I think we're thinking too much into it for that. I mean, I think giving him the pink ring would be cool. Just for the same reason
he will.
It would be, yeah. No,
getting the Indigo would be cool.
Well, you know, if he got the Indigo, it'd be a
as long as you know he's not in a baby suit. Yeah, as long as he's,
I think getting
more
a blue ringer would be cool. I like blue. I like the blue lanterns in general. I like if they would make him up, give him a blue lantern ring and a green lantern ring. That way, he can actually use the blue lantern power. I think that'd be cool. I think they have a focused blue lantern character, so they don't need another blue lantern. But I don't know. I think it'd be cool.
Do they still have rings, or were their rings destroyed as well?
What? Who?
Who's?
Kyle and John.
Their rings are fine. Their rings are fine. They were just taken off.
Ganthet's hold on to them, right?
Yeah.
I think they could probably expunge it with... The thing is, it wouldn't make any sense for it to be the War of the Green Lanterns if they're going to fight 95% of it wearing different color rings. Not that I would put it past DC to do something stupid like that, but...
Well, they kind
of
have to at this point.
They will.
Yeah, but again, we're all assuming they're going to get different rings, and then hopefully they'll go back to their other rings at some point. But I don't know. I'm just hoping that they don't... You know, it feels like to me Ganthet might bite the big one in this. I don't know. Maybe they're all looking at it.
That's fine with me.
He is one of a giant staple of Green Lantern history. But
I like him.
He's kind of a main character this new run, anyways.
All the more reason for him to die.
I wouldn't put it past that it might happen.
I know, but I don't want to see either of them around. So if Ganthet's got to go, he's got to go. I mean, he deserted.
Bedard, this is John's. I think it's a great idea, and this is just my suggestion. But if Ganthet were to die, and all your main characters were to die, and your title were to fail, yeah, that'd be great.
I'm pretty sure Tony and Jeff are on a first name basis.
Hey, Bedard, is that what he called him?
Hey, Bedard, this is John.
Hey, Bedard.
John's here.
Hey, Bedard, John's here.
He is the Johns.
This is Boss Man coming in. Hear me?
I think, are we done? Is that it? Because now we're starting to just talk now.
I don't want to be done.
I don't want to be done either. I don't think there's anything else left to talk about in the issue.
There really isn't.
Unless anybody has a little side tidbits they want to bring up.
Well, I liked it.
I said
I liked the story. I said I liked the story. I never said anything about that. Damn, Karen.
The thing that gets me is, you know, I read this book, and I'm reading it on, you know, sitting on my couch, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, holy crap. You know, here's a Kyle Rayner I actually understand, and so I was kind of excited by, you know, the you know, huge, by the way, for those of you just tuning in, sort of exposition at the beginning, and so now I come on the podcast and I hear about how it's all, like, crap, and now I'm all, like, depressed.
It's not really terrible. It's kind of an interesting way to look at Kyle in a new light.
Yeah, it's just not... It's right. not
and,
it's,
I mean, the only person I find in the Green Lantern universe more boring than Hal Jordan is Jon Stewart, and so here Jon Stewart has got, you know... Some meat to him that
that's,
I can.
That's a
I
good
can
point, John Stewart.
And admittedly, it's
John
like
Stewart didn't suck
between the eyes, but you know, I was kind of excited about that too, and
that's...
I don't know. I wanted to know if he was such a great architect, what the hell he was using to try and fix Boudica, because that looks like
something. Like a bunch of surgical tools.
He builds things. He's not a doctor.
He's using a T score. He was using a T score to try to fix Boudica.
He was doing it in the Boudica.
That's true. It's true.
Well, no, it's true. This new War of the Green Lanterns is very much for, especially this is very much for like newer readers who are going to start reading it to understand what these characters are about, why they're going to be fighting one another in a way.
It's kind of a big deal to have an issue of Green Lantern Corps over the course of the past six issues or so that's finally not insulting to any like the title characters.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I don't know if I missed it when you guys said this, but Boudica having a big rip open in her chest, how did that even happen? I mean, she teleports in there with the rest of them, and then they look over and it's like, oh, her power's down. She's got a big-ass hole in her chest. How did she have that?
She had that from the last arc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she had this as the weaponer arc, yeah.
Wait, so were we kind of positive?
Not from Doomsday?
See, I was genuinely concerned for them when, you know, Ganthet was trying to take their rings. I'm like, how high up are they? How are they in Atmo? What happens if you suddenly take a ring and you're being, like, propelled through space? Are they going to die? Like, I was really concerned about this.
Well, it's a good thing they were, you know, using tiny, tiny little guardians as cushions.
They are made of tinier men.
And what is Ganthet bleeds two different colored bloods? Is that what we're getting here? Because
that was another question I actually had for you guys was whether or not the yellow was due to the impurity or whether or not the Guardians actually bled yellow. Because I honestly
at least post rebirth or whatever they have yellow blood. So
I don't know why there's yellow. Didn't they blow up and it was like a whole spectrum of colors?
I guess they thought if they gave him red on his hand, it would yellow on his hand look funny. Though it is hilarious if you look at the page where Gantt.
No,
they didn't give him red, and that's why it's weird. But you know what's funny is if you look at the hand when Gantt's sitting there, and when he stands up, there's a big yellow puddle next to him. Looks like he pissed himself. So maybe that's why they didn't put yellow on his hand.
It looks pretty yellow.
It's yellow. It's just darkened.
It looks.
No, it's like an old.
No. There's definitely a red panel over here.
He's got two. It's the one where his hand's cut off and it's wrapped up.
John is helping him up.
Yeah, the one where he peed himself. It's just straight up red.
No, it's not red. That's like a dark orangish where like the yellow all pulled together and with the.
It kind of darkened as it's solidified.
It's like orange.
If you pee on something enough, it's not going to turn orange.
I mean, that's a color. That's a color.
That depends how dehydrated you are.
Depends on what kind of a night it was, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
All over his body and on the ground.
I wouldn't say I was positive about these two issues. I'm interested in where the storyline's going. I just am really disappointed in a lot of aspects of it.
I feel like we've been more positive than we normally are.
I'll say this. It's a better beginning than the beginning of the Sinestro Corps War. I mean, it's a stronger follow-up issue. Yeah.
Is it really?
I won't say the first
stronger second part, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Which.
And obviously, this is setting more of the rules.
It's kind of a big deal. In Sinestro Corps War, it never really recovered from that second issue to me until the very end, and even that was kind of a meh, not really.
So a good middle area is going to think and help the strength of the arc.
Good precedent is being set here. Hopefully, it follows.
Wait, the second issue of Sinestro Corps War was when what happened?
It was an issue of Green Lantern, I think.
It was 21.
Relax. I got it. Yeah. Cool.
They established the rules that I guess if you get the rings off of them, it would help. John and Kyle weren't completely controlled. They were just had a lot of animosity or a lot of panic, I guess, or fear.
Yes, it's fear that was being.
But everyone else was just straight up mind
control. What was John afraid of?
John was afraid of Kyle going off hand, Kyle getting himself killed. Kyle was afraid of Sarnik dying, like all his other girlfriends.
I'll tell you what I am getting sick of. It's just this. I don't mind the Marine retconning of John Stewart. It's like every issue we have to be beat over the head with this, like 10 different times.
John was in every war ever, by the way.
Yeah, right. He was an architect.
What conflicts
was in wars?
And like, if his we I've read you know I've read.
Wars.
I've read at least 70 comics that feature John Stewart as the protagonist, and never has he mentioned his veteran status, you know? And if it's such a major part of his life that he brings it up every goddamn issue, show me the what happened.
He was
show
in
me
Fallujah.
Him in combat.
If we go back to Blackest Night, then I'm pretty sure that issue showed him
In war.
Under service. Like, he wasn't a major or anything. He's just like a regular old guy, I forget the name.
What was he involved in armed conflict? How old is he? He's got to be at least 45. I mean,
he's old.
Not anymore. He's probably like in his 30s. I bet you he's like in his
30s.
He's clearly in his 30s when he's an architect, and then he became a.
Which you mean he would be about 5 to 6 to 10 years older than all of us? What conflict was happening 10 years ago that he could have been involved?
Even if he joined the Marines at 18.
10 years ago, what war was 10 years ago?
Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly.
What was Black Hawk Down? Wasn't that around?
No, that was.
There's continual armed conflict all the time.
He's been on deployment. He hasn't been.
He essentially didn't he say Fallujah?
Fallujah.
Somebody said.
Yeah, they say Fallujah.
Fallujah.
I mean, who cares? I mean, one of those imaginary DC countries. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Fallujah is correct. I don't care. I wish there was some kind of explanation.
Yeah.
Did he? Was he discharged? Is he a reservist? I mean, what's the status?
Let's not get into that. I'm sure it's because it
makes sense.
Give us the secret origins for John.
John makes sense because he's public with his identity, so he could just be like, I'm a Green Lantern now.
No,
I think he has
understand that.
Do you get an honorable discharge from the military to join the Green Lantern Corps?
I think that's a pretty honorable step up.
I think they have some sort of contract.
Hal Jordan, Hal Jordan is in the Air Force, and actually in the Air Force, and they don't care that he doesn't show up for work.
To be fair, his boss knows about it after he punched one of the aces.
They know about it. That doesn't make any sense because his identity isn't. his identity is secret, so it's not like he doesn't. He's not like in a. It's not like his superior can say, "Oh, don't worry,
help." His boss. He covers for him or something. I don't know. It's
how does his boss cover for him?
It's one of those wacky. It's one of those wacky sitcom things.
You get arrested if you
thought. Maybe the Green Lanterns give him his mandatory one weekend off so he can be a reservist.
If he's a reservist, but he's a reservist, but he's not. He's in the Air Force. He's not a reservist.
Oh, yeah. I
don't they have a reserve for the Air Force?
No, but he's not on that.
But he's not a reserve.
This is an entirely different podcast, guys.
Didn't Emerald Warriors say it was like 8 months since the Blackest Night? He's clearly went to work a lot of that time.
I guess he worked for a lot of it.
I guess that's when...
Listen, guys, we're going to do an entire topic show about the employment status of the Green Lanterns.
What is Kyle do again?
Kyle was a freelance artist.
Own a bar?
Kyle was a bum. So that's
the sole owner of Warriors, which will probably just be.
Isn't Guy supposed to be a lawyer?
I think the Green Lantern Corps pays them.
Yes,
I think
he was.
They should like three issues. Yeah, they don't care. They don't, that doesn't count.
Wait, really? Really? Yeah. Guy Gardner was a lawyer?
Yeah.
That doesn't count. It was retconned.
I thought he stopped being a lawyer after the brain damage.
It wasn't like a lawyer. It wasn't like
I would think
he's a public defender in Emerald Dawn, but I don't think he was an actual lawyer.
He got pissed because he wasn't making a difference, and then he
was a gym teacher before.
Okay,
one told him what a public defender was.
Can we finish this, guys? Because we're going for like long.
Yeah, we're pretty much done already. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our comments.
Before we sign off.
What the hell just happened? Everything's like spilling out.
Just to confirm my position, I liked the issue. I even liked some of the art. It was fun.
Okay, before we sign off, I wanted to tell you guys that you should go to podcaster.com, podcaster.com/Green Lantern Corps. And that's a good way to listen to the show on your computer, or it's the preferred way to listen on your iDevice if you don't want to go and every day, every other week, go and sync it to your device. You can go to podcaster.com/Green Lantern Corps and check it out there.
Yeah. Well, on that recommendation, I'm glad everybody listened to us today, and I hope you hear from us next time.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncorps.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @GLCorps.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Don't forget to check out Kirby Crackle, the performance of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, the performance of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
I have this magic ring. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long.
We're going to start off with a bit of news.
A bit.
This is news coming out of pretty much WonderCon at C2E2. Emerald Warriors apparently is to be premiered at WonderCon.
Emerald Knights.
Knights, yeah, you're right. I said Emerald Warriors. I'm still thinking about
everything. You did. You fucking it. God damn it.
Eric, I will swear I'm going to drop you from this call.
I swear. Didn't say I was going to slap you.
I'm going to drop you from this call right now.
I might see him this weekend. It's my birthday this weekend. I might see Frankie, so he might actually slap me with his gigantic hands.
His large black hands.
I don't think it counts as a slap when his hands are that big. I think it's just a scoop. It's just a swat, I guess.
What was your nickname for him again?
Gorilla Bombs? Was it Gorilla Bombs? Gorilla I forget what it was.
I thought it was just Kilowog.
No. Gorilla Palm and Balls Frankie or something.
And already we're completely derailed from the show.
Dear God.
Great.
All,
right. Yeah,
all of 20 seconds.
All right, so the news that I'm bringing up is the Green Lantern freaking Emerald Knights thing.
WonderCon.
Yeah, premiering WonderCon. Let me start this up. Because I don't need to say everything on this. I only need to say that pretty much, okay. News coming out of C2E2, Green Lantern and Emerald Knights will be premiering at WonderCon. This sucks. I really should have wrote something down for this entire thing, but I didn't. You know what? Brandon, you read that stuff out. I'm not reading this stuff out. You wrote all of this.
I copy and pasted all of it.
Green Lantern and Emerald Knights are going to be premiering at WonderCon! Who cares?
Is it in the chat or something? It's not in the chat, right? You put it on the board.
It is in the chat. It's under at gsc.com.
The only things that we're going
to
see...
No, I can't access that. You know, I tried to sign up for the website, but it never gave me a follow-up email.
Andrew doesn't like you.
Yeah, what's your nickname?
It should be pronounced Nort. I never heard back.
Literally just N-O-R-T?
Yeah, pronounced N-O-R-T as the same as one word.
Like it's spelled P-R... Okay. Like it's pronounced Nort. It's not N-O-R-T. It's pronounced Nort.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's the full word PRONOPNCEDNORT.
No, you forgot the space.
I didn't put a space.
He didn't put a space.
Oh, okay.
You fucker.
Right.
Is there a cap?
Whoa. So it's not.
Oh, there's no caps.
Nort. It's pronounced Nort.
It's not pronounced Nort. It's pronounced Nort.
Okay. Going back to this.
Across
the world. No more Pokemon theme.
No more traveling for you.
Damn, 51 people approve.
Come on, do you actually want to talk about the rest of the news parts? Because honestly, I don't even want to read it.
Sure, fine.
Sorry. I don't even want to read it.
I'll read it. So, shouldn't it be?
All right. The only things that we're going to be mentioning is the Emerald Knights are being premiered at WonderCon, and the Cartoon Network stuff that's coming out.
All right.
Oh fuck you. Yeah.
I'm not going to bring up anything with the Japan thing. I'm not going to bring up what's going to be on the Blu-ray DVD.
We can't talk Flashpoint?
We are going to talk about Flashpoint.
There's nothing. It's just creative team.
What is Flashpoint?
I think it's important to mention.
What is Flashpoint?
The Hal Jordan and Abensur miniseries.
Or if you, read a few issues back, is that Magog thing that was going on during JSA?
Or if you've seen any single Green Lantern comic book and seen all the previews in every single book ever.
Masafera.
But yeah,
is my voice cracking?
Studying quantum mechanics, damn it.
Getting higher pitches.
Weird.
I think you're getting drunker. And
I'm not even drinking anymore.
Maybe you're finally
It's slow acting.
It feels so slow.
Brandon, open up a window.
Interrupt
the air. Can we just continue the show, guys?
My fan is on.
Get the trash can.
I'm not that drunk. I didn't even. Oh my god.
How do we get sidetracked?
You're not drunk. You're being poisoned.
How do we get sidetracked this easily? Right now?
Everyone's talking.
How many mushrooms in your drink?
Wait, in related DC news, Andrew got.
Oh, screw you.
Andrew got what now? Hold on. Apparently, this is real news.
Please kill us all.
How did Rocket write his name on an average?
Shut up.
Okay, Frankie, please just segue. Just
segue. Eric, we need to segue properly.
We don't. We really don't. But just do it.
I thought he just did. He said, well, we're not going to talk about it as Brightest Day 22, but we'll talk about Brightest Day number 22. And
so
then I started talking about it.
I agree. I know exactly.
I'm confused.
Eric is correct.